this is interesting. This is called Doc Holliday. This is Volbeat, and they're from
I think they're from Copenhagen.
Yes, they're a Danish or Dutch.
Two different countries.
No, it's the same peninsula. It is the same Northern European roots.
By the way, they got that Eric Frein guy, and I thought what was interesting about this cop killing, Eric Frein, the alleged cop killer, is that this dude was arrested by the Pennsylvania troopers and was put into the same handcuffs that were worn, the same handcuffs used by the police officer that he murdered or allegedly murdered, and he was taken to jail in that officer's car. So this is a huge, huge, you know.
It's very significant when a fellow officer is killed in the line of duty, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the cops really make a point of sticking it to the guy that they think did it. So that guy, Frein, okay, thanks very much, Volbeat, for that.
Well, I think this is a very interesting. Why do they call it Doc? You know what I love? I love the manliness of a lot of this music. And when they start singing about, what are you looking at, bud?
What do you mean the manliness? These guys, they're just because it's called a Doc Holliday.
These guys aren't even Americans.
Well, what difference does that make?
Yes, exactly. What difference does that make?
Well, they don't have any right to be.
I'm talking about Doc Holliday. Doc Holliday, an American. And these guys come from Copenhagen or whatever. From what country?
Yeah, they come from the country of Copenhagen.
The country of Copenhagen, huh? You mean Denmark? Denmark.
What's Dane?
When they say the guy's Danish, where's that?
Denmark.
Denmark? You're Danish if you come from Denmark. Are you two guys going to get dumb this early? I thought you start out smart and then you go downhill.
Well, what does that mean, start out smart going downhill? That's a...
Well, you know, the earlier the better. Is that right, Phil?
Don't ask me. How do I know?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're dumb all the time.
Shut up. Look, man, we're starting in with the insults this early, huh?
Yeah, well, when has it ever been any different?
Well, there's a good point.
I'll do it. The country of Copenhagen is
The country's Denmark, and the people that live there are Copenhagen.
Yeah, it's got people that come.
Well, they're not Copenhagen, you jackasses. They're called Danish. Just like
just like a donut.
Like the donut, yes.
It's not a donut. It's more like a cinnamon roll.
We're not talking about that kind of Danish. Well, would you guys give me a break, okay?
Well, Phil, it gets very confused when you don't take charge.
Yeah, but son, you gotta take charge of things.
I'm taking charge right now, and I'm telling you, the people are called Danish. The country they come from is called Denmark. The capital is called Copenhagen. And that band Volbeat just did a song called Doc Holliday. What do you want from me? Thank you. All right. So, yeah, they took that piece of garbage, I mean, that living, breathing, crawling thing called Eric Frein, and they jammed him into those handcuffs.
Don't you think that's a little bit of overkill? In other words, I'm not criticizing. But at what point do you, oh, my God, he's dressed up in Serbian gear.
Yeah, that was the kick that this guy got. This turd got some kind of a kick out of dressing up like he was a Serbian soldier. I mean, give me a break. Unreal.
Well, no, but don't you think that when they do what you said they did, which was to put him into the handcuffs of the poor deceased officer, I certainly understand that, but can that not be construed as cruel and unusual?
Oh, are you kidding me? What's cruel and unusual about that?
I'm talking about the psychological trauma.
There's no way. The psychological of what?
Put the guy in the handcuffs, the psychological trauma of that guy being in a handcuff.
No. You can't. I bet you there's a judge, I bet you there'd be a lawyer that would argue that, though.
I think so. I think you have to be very careful.
No. If I were a judge, that cruel and unusual, because you put the guy into the handcuffs of the officer that he killed, cruel and unusual I always associate with real significant pain, you know.
Well, some people are going to say, look at this, look at the kisser on this. Boy, I'd love to smash this guy's face in.
Yeah, that's the frame. They got this guy. He's got an earring? No.
Oh, my God, it's an earring.
No, it's a curl, because you can see it's not going into the ear.
No, that's an earring, man.
No, Bud's right. It's not an earring. It was a curl from his hair, because there's no earring there on the right side. Anyway, cruel and unusual because they put the guy in the handcuffs and because they because they put the guy into the back of the radio car that the police officer used. I think that you are really bucking up. You are bucking up. You're Bucky Beavering up the wrong tree.
Well, what does that mean, for God's sake, Phil?
Well, you're trying. Phil screwed up. He thought, you know, barking up the wrong tree, so he turned it into a beaver.
And that, I'm making note of that as well.
I didn't try. I'm not talking good. Pardon me.
Well, what else is new? Sorry.
Yeah, huh? Welcome to our show here on the on this Friday morning, the Phil Hendry Show. So we're going to talk a little bit more there about the Freen, about this scumbag Freen, who shot one officer to death and he attempted to kill another, and he even wrote in his diary. The whole thing is kind of messed up. But I got this guy in custody. So Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and Dave Oliva. Well, I don't know which. I don't want to have both of those assholes. You know, we're talking about a guy that committed murder here. Okay, so which one's it going to be?
Well, I don't. You want to put on the which guy?
Probably get on Dave Oliva.
Get Dave Oliva in here, yeah.
Dave Oliva, Oliva, Oli. It is Hispanic. It is a Spanish thing. Dave Oliva, or if you will, Oliva or Olu.
All right, Margaret, thank you very much.
Are you going to say Dave Olavia?
Yes, because of the Ole. See, when you are doing that...
No, we don't need the lesson right now, okay?
Oh, well, excuse me.
Well, I mean, Margaret, I just...
I was going to say, when you're doing the Hispanic Ole... Forget it.
All right, so thank you very much for that. Also, the Republican Party is expecting to go in, kick ass, take names, and then kick a little more ass, take a few more names, then kick some more ass, take a few more names, and then with any luck, they'll be out of office, and we'll get back to... No, I'm just kidding. Next Tuesday, right?
Yeah, make sure you get out and vote, man. And vote on Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, I guess, is vote time. Here in America, Senator Rand Paul likened the Republican Party to Domino's Pizza this week during a swing through Detroit, declaring the GOP sucks as he tries to make it more palatable, as he tries to make it more palatable to minority groups. Okay. So there's a guy, he's like an arch conservative, too. I mean, this dude's Rand Paul's a Tea Party favorite, you know.
Well, I think that is just about it. That is the height of dumb. This is a guy that is a right winger. That has led the charge in his home state there of Suntucky or wherever it is.
He's from Kentucky.
That has led the charge to reintroduce the concept that maybe the South won.
Wait, what do you mean it maybe the South won?
You know what this guy's all about.
Wait a minute, you can't make a statement like that. Back it up.
No, I backed it up enough. Rand Paul... I'm telling you right now, Phil, Rand Paul wants everyone to think the South won so that he can reinstitute, I don't know.
No, you can't get away with that. You're going to have to be more specific than that. A lot of people think that Rand Paul is, because he's from the South, is a cat that, believes in the lost cause, the Confederacy, all that states' rights shit. But that doesn't mean this dude is looking to resurrect the Confederacy. What kind of jackass thing is that?
I beg your pardon, Phil. This is a man. He would be at home with hoop skirts and mint juleps, and I mean wearing one.
Oh, man!
What is that supposed to mean?
Excuse me.
Well, you really don't like that guy, do you?
Who does?
A lot of people like him. He said, remember Domino's Pizza? They admitted, hey, our pizza crust sucks. Is that what they said? I think they admitted that their whole pizza blew chicken. And so people don't want to be a Republican. And for 80 years, African-Americans have had nothing to do with Republicans, Rand Paul said at a GOP. Well, now, finally, there's one, at least when he said that, he's finally getting the idea that it isn't because black people are dumb. It isn't because black people are brainwashed by the Democrats. It isn't because black people don't understand really what it takes to make it an American. If they would just follow along the Republican guidelines, why, heck, they'd just be fantastic. It isn't any of that shit. Paul is saying it right here.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying to me that you're a Rand Paul fan?
I didn't say that, but I'm saying a guy is making some sense here. You know, every now and again, every dog has his day, as they like to say.
What's that supposed to mean?
Every dog has his day.
What?
It means every dog. For instance, you two morons, every now and again, you guys are able to, you know, turn a light switch on properly and not burn the place down.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, General.
You're welcome.
All right, so Rand Paul says, we're also fighting 40 years of us doing a crappy job of Republicans not trying at all for 40 years. So it's a lot of overcoming. You've got to show up. You've got to have something to say and really We just have to emphasize that we're trying to do something different. That's nice. You're trying to do something different. Is it any good? That's the question. Is this shit that you're talking about any good, man? Mr. Paul, who's openly gay... I'm kidding. No. No, I'm just joking. Mr. Paul, who is, quote, openly toying with a 2016 presidential run. This guy, Rand Paul, by the way, is who Chris Matthews said... Not that Chris Matthews is any great shining light bulb on the tree of brains, but hey.
He said he's going to run for president.
He's going to run as a Republican for president. He's tried to actively engage with the African-American community in an attempt to make Republicans more appealing to black voters, opening up offices in places like Detroit and traveling to Ferguson, Missouri in the wake of the shooting death over the summer of a black man by a white officer. Now, that's smart, man. That's really smart.
Yeah, well, now you think the guy's smart or dumb?
I think the guy's still dumb, man, but at least he's trying to talk to people.
Yeah, I mean, if Rand Paul believes that rolling Obamacare back is a smart move, then Rand Paul is still just as fucking stupid as he's ever been, okay? That's just the bottom line there, man. I'm sorry, you know.
Well, you know what, Phil? You're getting into political areas where you're very weak here, you know.
I agree, Phil. You really have to back off.
Well, I'm just giving my opinion, whether I'm wrong or whether I'm right. I'm just giving my opinion, okay?
Well, my opinion is I agree with you, but I'd rather say it and you back off, because it doesn't come off... When you say it, Phil, it sounds thuggish.
Yeah, Mr. Aaron, it sounds a little bit thuggish.
Why does it sound thuggish?
It sounds thick and Irish. And I'm not being racist, because Irish is not a race, it's a country. And it's a country of dumbass, well...
Jesus Christ, Margaret.
Boy, that's great, Margaret.
Never mind.
Ireland's a country of dumbasses. You know...
Phil, I didn't mean that.
Well, you said it. It sounds thick and thuggish when I say it. Okay.
Well, I'm saying, Phil, you say it all jacked up, you know?
Yeah, Mr. Aaron, a lot of stuff you say comes out butchered alive.
Maybe got a speechwriter or something.
Yeah, will you guys shut up and quit corning around or clowning around or...
Corning around?
Clowning around.
Phil, when you say corning around, you know what that means. You're wielding a cob in a way that is almost assaultive. Please don't make jokes.
What?
You know what I mean, and don't give me that look.
When I say corning around, I'm talking about wielding a cob in an assaultive way.
Yes, a corn cob.
Now do you get it? Finally?
Will you shut? Get out of here.
All right, make your jokes.
Oh, yeah. Rand Paul, may I read this?
Go ahead, Christ. I've been waiting for you here for 15 minutes.
Rand Paul, I think he's doing a smart thing, man. That's exactly what this guy should do.
All right, Phil, you can go out and you can talk to people and you can engage. You can engage.
Ms. Gray.
Now, hold on, Robert. I'm not done. You can engage the black community, but can you really get through to them? I'm Margaret Gray.
Big deal.
Well, you wish you would have said that.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do here in a moment after we get to... Bob Bacon's going to come on here with some traffic. We're also going to be talking here about this very thing. We got Dave Oliva coming on about the Eric Frame thing. We will have Dr. Jim Sadler coming on because something happened to me over the last 48 hours. I fell down on the street, and because I was just clumsily coming out of a front door, and I'm going to have Dr. Sadler on to talk about, you know, is this my age or something, or did I just fall down?
Well, you never know.
No, it's not my age, but I'm wondering...
Well, then why would you bring it up? Why are you worried? Are you concerned that you're going? Are you concerned that you are beginning to...
Yeah, about the Alzheimer?
No, I'm not, man. Talking about coordination and stuff like that. Alzheimer's. All right, let's go to Bob Bacon, who's going to have the traffic for us here on this beautiful morning out there on highways and byways. Bob, what's it look like?
Bill, it's Bob Bacon. Highway traffic. Bob Bacon with the traffic. Hey, listen, you're up on full now. I've got a great team, man. There's a little bright, scattered brain out there. I'll tell you what, if you got your brain scattered out here this morning, you do not want to be on the 210 freeway. It's climbing along, and it's climbing along tight, and there's people there going up the side of the mountain, and on top of Mount Wilson there, you get a really good view, but that's not where you're going to work this morning. No, you're not. You want to go downtown Los Angeles, go downtown Los Angeles, go downtown. You're going to go right down the drain if you go down to downtown Los Angeles, because you are going down the drain, man, especially if you live on Skid Row. There's Bob Bacon with the traffic, and don't forget, the world famous Phil Henry Show, of course, has got a BSP for that, and you can listen to it all the time here at the BSP and Phil Henry Show.
What happened, man? What the hell was that?
I don't know. Bacon's fucking around. Excuse my language.
Oh, my God. The language is...
All right. We're going to get on the phone here. Our close personal friend, the great, the wonderful Emory Clayton, Dr. Professor Emory Clayton from L.A. Canyon College, as we talk about Rand Paul engaging the African-American community. And good morning, Professor Clayton. Good to be with you.
Good morning, Phil.
Professor Clayton, you are a man of many years' experience, both in the world of politics, at least as an observer and commentator, as well as in the grander world of social science. Now you've got a politician here in Rand Paul, a guy that is a traditional conservative, and perhaps a bit even more conservative than that, and he's reaching out to the black community. What do you think?
Look, I'm willing to give anybody a chance. I will listen to any man. I think any man who is a reasonable man will listen to what a man has to say. I've got no problem with that. And if Rand Paul wants to come into the black community, wants to come into the inner city, wants to set up an office, wants to engage, as they all like to say. You know, I love this word engage. It sounds almost like you're going steady. That doesn't sound to me too manly, but all right.
What is unmanly about engaging?
I just said it sounds like you put a ring on some broad. Excuse my language, but it's early, and I'm usually in a very foul mood this early in the morning. Call me up and get me on your radio program, and I haven't even put my pants on yet. I'm walking around here in underwear and a T-shirt. I got a piece of a big glob of shaving cream on one side of my face, and in my other hand I got a donut. I don't know what I'm doing. And now you guys have got me on the phone. Now I got a donut in one hand, I got a phone in the other, I got shaving cream on my face, I'm in a pair of underwear that I need to change, because this is day three with these. I slept in them last night. And now you guys are asking me about Rand Paul. You know, to me, this is...
All right, so we caught you unawares. Do you want us to give you a little bit of time to get set, and we'll call you back?
No, because I got to get to class, so I've got to do all of this at once. Let me just say this, Phil. Rand Paul, and by the way, and I'm also driving in a car. So.
Wait a sec. You're in your underwear in a car?
No, I'm not. I'm standing next to the air conditioning because the damn house is boiling hot. Where I live up here in Northern LA County, man, I gotta get some air, man. I gotta get air. And so, let me turn this off here for a minute here. Just get away from that. Honey, could you turn that off? Turn the air conditioning off here. I was standing in front of an air conditioner, Phil, because the house is just stiflingly hot. It's been, very hot summer, and it's still hot here in November, you know, almost November.
Well, it's hot in October in California. It's hot in September. Everybody knows this. We've had fires, in fact, in the month of October. By the way, don't you find, I don't want to get sidetracked, but you do, you live, as you say, in northern L.A. County, where there is you're bordering on the desert up there. It's isn't it a very pleasant surprise that we haven't had more fires?
Absolutely, it's a pleasant surprise. Although I'm not ruling anything out. I'm not ruling anything out. You know, we still got a lot of dry timber. Of course, there might be the... What do you got me talking about fires for, man? Do I look like Smokey the Bear? I'm talking about what I want to talk about here, which is
I'm sorry.
Rand Paul.
Yeah, why you two guys started talking about forest fires? I thought I was about ready to get on the phone with some kind of a medevac service.
Medevac? What's medevac?
Medevac.
Right, let me wipe this off my face here. You... Just hold the phone for me. My wife is here. She's helping me out. You hold the phone. Let me have... No, I'll take the phone back. Would you take this out of my hand? That's the donut. Yeah, I know you know it's a donut, honey, but it's... Now, the other thing in my hand here is my... Well, I better not say that. I had my...
Get your dick in your hand.
I didn't say anything about having my dick in my hand, did I?
Okay, all right, okay, fine. So either I'm going to call you back or we're going to do this right now.
I got it. I got it together. I mean, you guys called me. Don't start yelling at me.
I understand.
What I'm trying to say to you, Phil, is this. We've got 200 years this country being split down the middle. Not down the middle. In fact, it's split two-thirds over here and the other third people of color. And we've had a decided leadership strain of European-American. Now we got blacks. Now we got Hispanic. Now we got Native people. We got all kinds of people now that want a piece of the pie. Now here come Rand Paul. Not only do they want a piece of pie, Rand Paul knows he has to have the black vote. Must have a black vote. He's got to get people of color to vote to get Republicans elected consistently and to embrace the message of the Republican Party. So how are they going to do that? They've got to start talking to black people. You can't start talking down to black people and say, hey, here's how you do it. This is what you got to do to get a job. Here's what you got to do to get a bank loan. Here's the reason why the bank is turning it down for a loan. Man, they're not blue-lining you. You just ain't working hard enough. You don't have good credit. See, they don't get it at all. Right wingers never got it. Now, Rand Paul going to come into Detroit and try to tell them that he gets it. We'll see. I'll tell you one thing, though. Nobody come to my neighborhood and starts talking some of this crap, because right away I know where the guy's talking crap. I know when someone trying to yank me. And if he's trying to come into these neighborhood trying to yank people, man, he might as well take his curly head and get the hell out. Get his curly head, get his funky, stupid little blue suit, get his Jim Baker suit, and crawling under the couch in a fetal position while his old lady is crying the clown tears, and get your ass into your limousine in your fetal position and your clown-teared wife, and get out while the getting was good.
Okay, fine. So,
I'm not done yet.
I know you're not done yet, but let me just direct the question your way. What, Robert?
I don't know what you're talking about when you say that guy is coming into town wearing a clown suit.
I didn't say he'd wearing a clown. I said there's the old lady, that Tammy Baker, she had the clown tears.
What's that got to do with anything? Yeah.
I'm telling you, these people that come in from these conservative districts in their blue suits, all these people look, for all the world, to remind me of some, minority-hating preacher trying to give me the good word, but he don't want me in his church. You understand?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you.
Oh, all right, that's a very good, I understand that metaphor, yes.
All right, thank you very much, God. Honey, could I give me some of that sizzling? I want the sizzling. And a beef rizzo, no chorizo. I'm sorry, Phil, my wife's making breakfast.
Go ahead, we did interrupt you.
Yeah. Honey, I want beef rizzo, not chorizo. Because chorizo's pig. Say that again. I know that bacon is pig. I'm sorry, Phil, I know bacon's pig, but I can't live without it. You know that. I've told you that a million times. I can't live without the pig. I gotta have pig somehow. Let me have the pig, but I'll eat the beef rizzo. Beef rizzo. Beef rizzo, honey. I'll have pig bacon, but I need beef rizzo. I can't have all pig.
Are you have you sworn off swine, or what is it?
Hold on. What?
Have you sworn off eating swine?
Yeah, I don't eat pig either.
I understand you don't eat pig, Phil, but I don't eat pig for a very specific reason, because I want to appear as if I adhere to certain Muslim beliefs, even though I really don't. I mean, I do, and I respect the Muslim people, and I'd like to be Muslim, but I can't change my name to Abdul Salam. I can't do any of that jazz with the name, because people are going to think I'm some kind of a freak on a stick. You know what I mean? Because there are a lot of brothers that have changed their names down to the years. They haven't redounded very well.
Wait, hold on for a minute there. This is General Shaw. Professor Clayton, are you...
Wait. General Shaw, could you hold on? Answer one question at a time. Just wait. My wife is... What? I said I want beef rizzo. Didn't I get that beef rizzo?
Look, excuse me, Professor, but we have to move on with our questioning. Otherwise, we're just going to have to let you go.
Wait, oh, you're going to let me go because I'm asking for beef rizzo? Shit.
That because of the beef rizzo on a car, we got to get an interview.
I'll take it from anybody. I won't be directed by Dickman, okay? I'll take it from one person like you, Phil, under protest, but I ain't going to have Dickman yelling direction in my ear. You understand that?
Yeah, but Joe, I mean, Professor, sorry, I called you General.
And I ain't talking to that moron either. Now, who's it going to be?
It's me, and all we're asking is that you concentrate here on one thing at a time. If you want to conclude your business with your wife, go ahead.
Well, we can talk among ourselves while you're doing that.
Bingo. Give the lady a cigar. That's what I'm trying to do.
All right, we'll talk among ourselves. Go ahead.
Honey, I need the beef rizzo.
All right, now, we do have Professor Emory Clayton.
Beef rizzo.
Talking to us here about the... Well, he's talking, really, about the Republican Party.
Beef rizzo, man. Not the sizzling is pink, the beef ain't. I need half beef, half pig! Half beef, half pig!
I can't get anything done here.
What the hell is going on now?
I need the beef rizzo. I gotta call you back. I know, honey. I didn't mean to yell at you. Please don't.
God, what happened, man? It sounded like his wife's gonna beat him up.
That's what it sounded like.
Well, Professor Clayton is married to a fellow educator. His wife, Sally, is also a professor, but she's very traditional. She makes him breakfast. And it sounds to me like he raised his voice, and that was the last... That's the last I heard.
God damn, so she belted him, huh?
It sounds that way to me.
Well, all I heard was beef rizzo, beef rizzo. He needs half beef, half pig.
Maybe he thought he was referring to her.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe she thought he was referring to her.
Yes, Phil, perhaps. Some women are funny like that.
I don't think so. I think it was the breakfast. All right, Professor Emory Clayton, is he back?
Yeah, Professor Clayton? Yeah, Mr. Henry wants to be sure that you know.
Okay, Professor Clayton, you there?
I'm right here, Phil. Forgive me. Look,
My wife is a beautiful woman. I love Sally very much. We've been married now 31 years, but I said I want beef, and I can't. I'll take the sizzling. I'll take that all day. I'll take sizzling till the cow come home. All right, bud? You understand?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on for a minute, okay?
I got something I want to say.
I know, but what is this, bud, are you okay, the cow comes home? What is that?
Cow come home.
Bud Dickman is so stupid that when we say till the cows come home, he doesn't get the plurality of it. He understands one cow.
Yeah, that's, you didn't hear about that.
No, I didn't hear about that, no.
Oh, it's been all over town. You can't talk to Dickman.
What do you mean it's been all over town?
You can't talk to Dickman about the cows coming home. It has to be singular.
Yeah, you know about that?
No, I didn't know about that. I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the text message. I guess it was in the newspaper if it's all over town.
Well, it's not that newsworthy. Everybody knows it, but it's kind of a coffee shop thing.
Oh, you guys are full of shit, okay?
God damn, get a load of this guy's language.
What's wrong with you, Phil? All of a sudden bent out of shape?
You guys are full of crap. So, Professor Clayton, can we continue?
Sure. We can continue, not continue. I've got my beef rizzo and I've got my sizzling. Here's what I want to say. Rand Paul is making the right move. He's talking to, not down, to people. The Republican Party talked down to black people for years and years and years. Talked down to black people. I'm not saying they didn't use Ebonics, and that's why. I'm saying the Republican Party took on a traditional white man view, which is, y'all gonna make it in this society if y'all learn how to do it. Let us teach you. Well, no. This is a race of people, of black people in this country, African-American people in this country that have been innovators, that have been thinkers, that have been writers, that have been orators, that have been philosophers in this country, the United States of America, long before any white man presumed to tell them how to make it. So we don't need anybody telling us how to make it. What we want is somebody to open the door up. We got all kinds of people in the black community, in the black race in America, if you will, who know how to innovate, create, create businesses, make product, invent things, fight in wars, you know. So we don't need that. The Republican Party coming at us like we need an education in capitalism. I'm here to tell you, ain't no education needed there. What we need is y'all to step out of the way and quit blue-lining the loans and quit judging a man based upon the color of his skin when it comes to employment opportunity, all that kind of thing. So now here comes Rand Paul. And Rand Paul is going to try and tell us, well, you know, this has never been about black and white. We just have a different philosophy of getting at things from the Democrats. Because we don't believe in big government don't mean we don't believe in people, that kind of thing. If he's got that kind of message and he's able to project that message, and Rand Paul got a fighting chance. But if he comes in there looking like the howdy-doody... I gotta tell you something. This guy, this Rand Paul, will come in there looking like the howdy-doody clown that he looked like with his curly hair and his blue suit. And he's coming in there with the cathedral quartet and all these guys. Oh, God, you're going to live with me. They do all that white man southern gospel. And he jumps out tap dancing with the wingtips. And he's trying to lay some kind of a song and a dance on me that's gonna bleach out every black man he's talking to. No, thank you. I know it's time for working. You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
Bleach out every black man he's talking to.
That's right, because the message of the Republican Party traditionally has been, if we can bleach you out a little bit, all you need to do is bleach it up. Bleach it up and bleach it out, okay? And if I can get you lighter, and I can get the suit you're wearing a little bit more traditionally cut, maybe a navy blue, I like that, maybe a beautiful navy blue with white socks and those black quarter of an wingtips, now you start to look like a real clown. You look like me, man. I'll tell you something else, too. A lot of you folks, you think the cock is out. I think it's a very, very nice, you know, nice thing.
Wait, sir, man. So you said that's what they want now?
No, that's not what they want now. That's what they did want.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I think it's you're painting with some broad strokes there, but I understand what you're saying. You're saying it's time to speak to people as competent individuals who can indeed navigate these rocky shoals of American free enterprise. You don't need to tell them, oh, here's how you sign your name to a loan.
Exactly. We don't need all that talking down, all that silly-ass talk down, bull. You know, all we want, y'all get out of the way and we'll get it done.
All right, Professor Emery Clayton, did you get your breakfast?
My name is Clayton, not Clayton. You just said Professor Emery Clayton, or clown.
I didn't say, forgive me. Did you get your breakfast?
Yes, I got my breakfast. Sally's still hunting up the beef rizzo. I got to get into class. Now, I know she's got a class she's got to teach earlier than me. She's got to get in a half hour earlier than me. But I can't help it, Phil. I'm standing here in underwear, and I still haven't shaved, and I want that beef rizzo, honey. Please get me the beef rizzo.
Why do you have to have beef rizzo?
I always had chorizo. And this week I'm starting in on beef Rizzo. It's good. It ain't good enough, but it'll do. But I must have it in my scrambled eggs, even if she's late for class.
See, that right there, you talk about traditional messages, you're going to have to shit-can that.
I totally agree.
Whoa. Hold on. Just so I'm clear. Did I call up today so I could get lessons in how to be a husband and stand here and talk to my wife? My wife?
Well, I...
Hold on. Did I call up today to get lessons in how to talk to my wife? Now, that little lady in there is... What, lady? No, honey, I didn't mean to call you lady. Yeah. All right. She's got the beef Rizzo for me, Phil. Listen, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump on you.
Well, go ahead and have your breakfast. Have a good day.
Yeah, okay, stutter. Whatever you say. I know. Is it beef Rizzo? Is it real beef Rizzo? Because I...
You know what, Phil? One of these days, you'll do what I've suggested for months now. And that is to qualify the guests that you have in this program by way of a very simple combination of a Rorschach test and a written multiple choice.
You talking about find out if they're nuts?
I didn't say nuts.
No, you didn't say nuts, just a Rorschach test and a simple multiple choice?
Yes, that's exactly. Did you hear the word nuts in there at all?
Well, the word Rorschach...
Yeah, it pretty much might as well say nut.
I said nuts, not nut.
Well, you know what? You're probably onto something there, General.
You're J.D. right, I'm onto something.
Yeah, you are. I mean, because that was the goofiest thing that I've ever heard. Although, you know, I have nothing but endless, boundless respect for Professor Emery Clayton, for him to be standing there in the middle of his house, you know.
Well, he was standing, he was in his underwear, and I don't know.
Let's talk about the substance of what he said.
Standing yellow, go, it looks like you're trying to twist it.
Yeah, it looked like you're trying to grab the knob.
I said, will you guys forget about how I'm working my hands every time I do something weird with my hands?
Well, Phil, if you were doing that...
I didn't do that, did I?
By God, there is a woman in the room. I know you guys think that I'm a man, because for whatever reason, I don't know where you get that idea.
I don't think you're a man, Margaret, but you're the one that's always going off to pinch one off. We might as well be in a locker room.
You know something, I'll take it from Phil. I might even take it from Bud, but you, General, you've been getting mouthy lately, you know that?
You know what, any time you're ready, the light's green.
Is that right? How about...
Eat! Watch it!
That'd be a brick.
Yeah, that's right, lady.
Wow!
Tell him to shut... I don't like the stuff the old man says.
The old man, is that it?
Hey. The two of you guys, man.
Well, you know what I mean.
Well, you know something, Margaret? You're going to have to just chill it out, okay? You're the one that's walking in. She's gone.
Yeah, she went in the bathroom.
By the way, the fan in here doesn't work.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, baby.
Hey, watch it, will you?
All right, so we'll see whether that philosophy, whether that approach by the Republican Party works. I have a sense that it will if they can. Yeah, I got to tell you something, man. Some people think that the racial divide in this country is not really all that significant. It's just a matter of saying yes, sir, and no, ma'am. And it's just a matter of saying, hi, y'all. You all look like regular people to me. Let me talk to you about the shit that I believe. There's a lot more to it. You know, there's all kinds of... I think that there's all kinds of differences based on hundreds of years of blacks and whites living on the other side of town from each other. And I mean, that's a pretty significant divide. And then you come in there and say, well, you know, I'm not going to talk down to you anymore. I think what I'm going to do is come on in here and tell you all, now look, I realize that, you know, the Republican Party wants to do this, that maybe it's just a matter of spelling it out and not doing all that jazz, you know.
Yeah, man, don't try to be black. Just talk about it.
Yeah, well, that right there, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I just, you know, what bugs me, and maybe I'm alone here, is when I hear a lot of white politicians talking to black audiences or talking to black voters like they're educating them on shit. Like, it's a very condescending, here's how you do it. Here's what it takes. I hear other white people doing that with black people. They say, well, this is what it takes. And the reason why you're not making it is because you're not doing the shit that I'm doing. And these white people don't get it, man. They don't understand that you were born into a certain slot, a certain, you know, a strata of society, of this society, that you didn't have to put up with a lot of the same shit they did. So you can't sit here and say, well, here's how it was easy for me to start a business. Why don't you? I know why you're lazy. And it just keeps on going because nobody wants to learn a goddamn thing when it comes to other people. We think we got other people figured out. We think what we need to learn is all about outer space, you know.
Well, I mean, we got to learn about outer space, man. You ain't like Mars and everything like that.
What do you mean learn about other people?
I mean learn about other people.
Here, I want in on this. I think Phil's making a very good point. We need to know more about people and spend less time. I don't know.
You know, there was a really interesting article that was linked on Twitter. It was the 10 things rich people do. 10 things rich people do. And this goes to this learning more about people thing.
What do you mean 10 things rich people do?
These are 10 things that people that are wealthy, and wealth is defined by the following. $160,000 annual or more in income, but in addition to $160,000 a year, because there may be people listening to me right now, oh, I make 160 G's a year. Man, I make way more than that. Okay, but hold on. 160 G's a year in income and 3.2 million liquid.
Jesus.
What does that mean?
I mean, not that Frank and I don't have that, but you're saying I always thought that it was a much, much broader definition.
No.
Oh, you and Frank have 3.2 liquid, huh?
I'm sure that we do, yes. I'm sorry, but I...
All right, well, 3.2... What are you talking about, bud?
What does that mean?
Liquid means you can spend it right now. It's like cash. Liquid means, boom, I got 3.2 million. I don't have it in property. I don't have it in stocks that I got to sell. I mean, I guess stocks are considered to be liquid because you can sell them right away. But liquid is not property. It's not real estate. It's not that kind of shit. It's not, I don't know, man, like a trust fund or so, you know, something that you can't get to. Something that you cannot get to. Liquid is what you can get to right now. And if you don't have that, then you ain't rich, okay? And what that basically essentially means is those people are doing 10 things right, according to this study. And one of them was, it seems like a very simple thing, but, you know, look at what I do for a living. And one of the things I'm expected to do, and I realize I'm not traditional, but I am expected to watch TV.
Well, you don't watch any TV. The only TV you watch is all that you watch the war, which I like to see the military channel. But you're watching some, what was he watching?
You were watching Turner Classic Movies, and you were watching some, I don't know, some costume drama.
I watch a lot of movies, but I watch TV. So what are you saying?
I'm saying that you watch TV.
I do watch TV, yeah. 10 things that rich people do is they 6%, they watch less than an hour a day. Only 6% of rich people watch more than an hour a day.
An hour a day?
An hour a day. The other thing that rich people do is they spend a lot of time exercising and paying attention to their diet. The other thing that rich people do is they read. But they don't read fiction. They read nonfiction.
That qualifies you, Mr. Henry.
Whoa. It doesn't stop there, though. Rich people read nonfiction, but they read self-help. They read self-awareness. They read books that are educational about improving one's self. So it's a very specific kind of reading. And they found, conversely, people who are lower income people, because this was a questionnaire that they essentially gave out to everybody. They knew the incomes of everybody that they were talking to. So you started out knowing the income of everyone, or the, if you will, the economic class. And then they asked these questions.
Right. So they read. So what kind of reading?
They do nonfiction reading, but they do nonfiction reading of, like, self-help stuff.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about... See, that to me, you're trying to tell me that to be rich, I got to read some of that... what was the guy? The guy I hated his living guts.
Oh, the Celestine Prophecy.
That guy, Jesus. When my wife Patsy got a hold of that, I wanted to commit homicide.
All right. Well, some of that stuff is real New Agey bullshit. You're right, but it doesn't have to be that. But it's something like that, you know. And it was very interesting. I thought it was interesting to connote or denote the differences. Now, let me see if I can figure out one more of these.
Now, this was what 10 things rich people do.
10 things that rich people do. It's in Forbes magazine. I would really recommend that you read this because it's a fascinating article. And if nothing else, I think if you were to do these things, I don't think you'd be rich.
Yeah, I was going to say, all you got to do is do it. Is it 10 of them?
There's 10, but it's not going to...
Well, if you did them, you'd be rich, right?
Yeah, why not?
Because it's not going to make you rich. It's something that rich people do, but they didn't do this to be rich. I mean, they do these things, and it means that they're disciplined, but they're not really, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you don't, Phil. That's the whole point.
I know what you're saying. It's 10 things that rich people do that that made them rich.
No, all I'm trying to say is you ain't going to do this and become rich.
But why not? I must know.
Oh, shut up. So, read it. It's in Forbes magazine. I'll find it. Okay, tell you what. We'll take a break here, and then I'll go and I'll find it. All right? Will that make everybody happy?
Well, Phil, I think I think that's what we're all leading to here.
All right. Let's go. We'll be right back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Of course, I want to remind you that BSP can be yours. All you have to do is pick up a backstage pass at our website, philhendryshow.com, and get thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back. 10 things rich people do. Is that it?
Yeah, 10 things rich people do.
I'm gonna love you.
I bet you they don't listen to this garbage.
I don't know, man. By the way, I want to thank everybody that turned out for our big show on Wednesday night there at the Improv in Ontario. What a blast we had meeting everybody. It was truly a very cool thing. So thank you. Thank you all for being there. 10 things rich people know that you don't. 20 things the rich do every day. Is this it? This is Dave Ramsey. And Dave, you didn't write this, man. The other thing was that they set goals, okay?
Well, everybody sets goals.
Everyone does set goals. Goal setting should be a fairly commonplace thing. I don't know if I have the right one. Maybe Dave Ramsey is... Maybe Dave is copying this over from the Forbes magazine article that I saw. 80% of the wealthy are focused on accomplishing some single goal every day. So a goal is not the same as a wish or a hope or a dream. A goal is something that you have set in stone, and you're going to make this goal happen, and you do something every day to make that goal happen.
Well, like, what if your goal is to be rich?
If your goal is to be rich, then you have to have an idea of how to get there, and you have to do certain things every day to do that. But I something tells me that rich is a byproduct of a certain way of life. Rich is not the goal.
You know, I think a lot of people make that mistake. You know, they think that being rich is a goal. What do you want to do? I want to make a lot of money. And they don't know what the hell, you know.
Well, that's true. You talk to Frank. My husband is liquid, $3.2 million. I want that to be... Can you make note of that?
Very good, Margaret.
Well, you talk to Frank, and he'll say, I never wanted to be rich, but I wanted to drive a Rolls Royce. You see?
Okay, that's the same thing, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's, I want to drive a Rolls Royce. It's going to cost a lot of money.
All right. Here is...
What do you mean, all right? You're blowing it off so you can get to Dave Ramsey? Great.
No, you want to see this.
20 things the rich do every day. 70% of wealthy eat less than 300 junk food calories per day. All right, 97% of the poor eat more than 300 calories. 23% of the wealthy gamble. 52% of poor people gamble. Okay, this is gambling. Now it's very interesting that these destructive habits, so-called, fewer are engaged in by the wealthy. But there you have gambling is not exactly one that is shunned almost universally by the wealthy. Although we probably think that there are a lot more rich people gambling than there are. Most of the people you see, if you go to Vegas...
Everybody I see in Vegas is walking around looking like a stumble bum. I don't mean to put people down, but it's like an old lady in a sweatsuit and some young cowboy, bunch of jive turkey, jive mother Jesus.
Well, I don't know that much about Vegas, but you do see a lot of the trash, you know.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of the trailer trash and everything.
Yeah, that's because they live near trailers, man. They didn't live near trailers, wouldn't have that many.
Because they live near trailers? No, it's just there's a lot of people. Who's going to gamble but people that think they're going to hit it big? And who wants to hit it big? People that ain't got money. Rich guy ain't going to take his money and throw it down a rat hole. You think a rich guy is that stupid? You go to Vegas, where the odds are against you to begin with. The house survives and Vegas survives. Why? Because they have beaten the shit out of people down to the years. They don't, that whole thing is rigged so that they don't lose, man, so that they can win.
Gavin, how come a lot of hotel go under and everything like that?
What do you mean hotel go under?
That's. But I'm going to break you that habit, okay? Singularizing everything until the cow comes home.
That's my understanding.
They go under because of the economy. They go under because of the national health economically. They don't go under because, some cat came into town and just beat the shit out of him when it comes to gambling. There's a lot of guys that are, trying to beat the house that are criminals.
Yeah, look at a lot of those guys, man. They catch them, though.
Yeah, did you see that one about that one guy? And he counted cards and everything.
That one about that one guy? Like, every week they're busting guys like this. All right. 76% of the wealthy exercise aerobically 4 days a week. 23% of the poor do. So they exercise. 63% of wealthy listen to audiobooks. That's the other thing. They listen to audiobooks on their commute to work.
Now, that's interesting. Now, you read a lot, Phil.
I read, but I don't listen to audiobooks.
Well, then you better start listening to audiobooks to help you get wealthy.
I mean, audiobooks are great. My whole trip is this.
To help you get wealthy, Phil.
How do you know that I'm not wealthy?
Well, are you saying you've got 3.2 million liquid?
Wouldn't you like to know? You know, I do have a retirement that I've been feeding into for many years.
Well, a retirement fund is not liquid. Oh, wait a minute.
Yes, it's liquid, all right. Don't worry about it. Your retirement fund is liquid, man. You just get your ass kicked. It becomes income. It's income like anything else. So you're paying taxes on it. All right, 81% of wealthy maintain a to-do list versus 19% of the poor. Listen to what I'm saying here, folks. So 70%, we're talking about what do rich people do? 70% eat less than 300 junk food calories a day. That's nothing. 80% are focused on accomplishing one single goal. 76% exercise aerobically. 63% listen to audiobooks during the commute to work. 81% maintain a to-do list each day. 63% make their children read two or more nonfiction books a month. Nonfiction is really important, man. And the crap that people read. You know, we talk about we're a country that loves to read. We read fiction and we read real shit. Real shit. I mean, it's fine to have an imagination, man. How much do you want to stoke your imagination until you got nothing but crap flying around in your imagination? Dragons and Harry Potter and midgets and hobbits and dwarfs and all that stuff. And there's nothing up there, man, that even relates even remotely to the real world. Just a lot of... And you can't wait to get home from work so you can sit down in front of your computer and play games. I mean, you're living in fantasy land. No wonder... That whole GameGate thing was going on.
What the hell is this GameGate anyway?
You know what it was. A bunch of these...
Yeah, it's a bunch of retards.
Don't say retard.
Sorry, it's a bunch of people they're all wrapped up in games, and they're so off in fantasy land that anybody messes with it, they're going to kill somebody.
Yeah, man, they're homicidal.
Yeah, they're a bunch of people that live in fantasy land. Their real lives suck. Their real lives are just absolute, it's a waste, man. Their real lives, God knows what they do. But they can sit there off in fantasy land, and if anybody fucks with their fantasy, look out.
This F word that we're using.
Margaret. All right, now we have more. 80% of the wealthy make happy birthday calls. Get a load of that.
No, wait a minute. Say that again.
80% of the wealthy make happy birthday calls. Now, that's fascinating. There was a guy, Mark Dennis, the late, great Mark Dennis, who was the staff announcer. He was sort of the imaging announcer, as we call it, the imaging voice for KFI Radio here in Los Angeles for many, 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 many years. And I knew Mark. He had a beautiful voice. In fact, you may recall there was a drop we had once. I don't know if you can find it, bud.
Bill Henry.
Yeah, he did that. But he did the imaging voicing for KFI. Mark kept a record of everybody's birthday and wished everybody a happy birthday. Just about every day, this guy had three or four calls to make. On my birthday, I got a call from Mark Dennis. I wasn't particularly close to Mark. I knew him professionally and enough to say hello to him, and we would talk, but my God, every year I got a birthday call from Mark Dennis.
Was he rich?
I don't know, Margaret, but I'm saying that, let me put it to you this way.
But it's a very winning strategy. People like you. A lot of what you're saying here has to do with networking and getting people on your side.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, boy, you're going to want to put your nose up someone's butt.
Yeah, what about that, Mr. Henry? Sticking the nose up the butt.
We're not talking about sticking your nose up a guy's ass. What's wrong with calling a guy up and saying, happy birthday?
Do guys do that with each other?
Yes, they do, you moron.
I'm only kidding.
I'm going to kick your ass. You know that?
Do guys do that? Number 10, 88% of the wealthy read 30 minutes or more each day for education or career purposes. Okay, so in other words, you are reading, you're not only reading nonfiction and self-help, but for 30 minutes a day, you are reading something having to do with your career or your overall education. 30 minutes a day. 6% of the wealthy say what's on their mind. 6% say what's on their mind. 69% of the poor. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, they speak their mind.
No, they do not. No, they don't. Only 6% speak their mind. 69% of the poor.
Well, you know, it stands to reason that a poor guy's going to want to say he's got nothing else he can do.
Yeah, but listen to what I'm saying. As I speak my mind.
That's why you'll never be rich, Phil, because you speak your mind too much.
Well, it's part of my job. It's part of my job. But listen, I heard it said once that you really need to shut up because all you do is let people know what you're thinking. And when you let people know what you're thinking, you let people know what you're going to do. And when you let people know what you're going to do, in business, it's a suicide. You've got to keep people guessing as to what it is, what your next move is going to be. You're going to gain, probably, their attention, which is good in business, and you're not going to be giving away any secrets as to what moves you're going to make. I tell you, man, when you play it close to the vest, you're a much, much smarter person than the next guy. And that's a hard one to learn. That's a hard one to learn. 79% of the wealthy network 5 hours or more each month. That means you're at a party, you're at an event, you're at a function, you are wherever, playing golf.
What do you mean network? What's that mean?
Means you're going out and meeting people in the business, everything.
Yes, you're sitting down and you're breaking bread with people in your industry, your business. You know, the golf course is great. I met a guy at a luau. Have you ever been to pig luau or any of this deal?
What is it again?
Have you ever been to a pig, you know, a pig out, not a pig out, what do they call it, Phil?
A luau.
Yeah, the luau in Hawaii. What was the guy?
The luau was that guy that used to clean up?
We had a guy, ladies and gentlemen, there was a man that did gardening around the studio here. His name was Luau.
What?
Hey, watch it now.
Start giving me a hard time, bud.
No, not that luau. Luau as in the Hawaiian thing?
Oh, yeah, like the huki lau, doodle-loop, that one?
Yes, the huki lau.
All right, so anyway, if you go to a luau where you have the pig, that's very good networking.
How many people do you know that go to luau's?
If you're in Hawaii, oh, a lot of people.
Well, how many months out of the year do you spend in Hawaii?
How many months? I've been to Hawaii exactly twice in my life. When I was stationed there, and we were at the barracks there, and then I was in Hawaii for my wedding. But I didn't go on my honeymoon. I went on my honeymoon to Bakersfield. So we went to the Buck Owens Crystal Palace.
You got married in Hawaii.
You gotta be... Say that again.
What do you mean, say what? I just said it the first time the best possible way I could say. We got married in Hawaii, and we took our honeymoon in Bakersfield.
What, man? Why would you do that?
You want me to say it again? Because we wanted to go see Buck Owens Crystal Palace.
You? Okay, fine. I mean, I'm not... That's about the goofiest thing.
What's good? You know what, Henry? You learn a little bit about life, okay?
No, I know about life, but I'm just thinking, if you got married in Hawaii, that's a great place to honeymoon.
It's a great place if you didn't get married. I'm looking at Hawaii morning, noon, and night. All I see is Hawaii. Now you're telling me I get married, I'm going to stay there? Woo-hoo! Boy, are you dumb.
Well, you know, that's a good point. That is. Because you...
Well, he was living there year-round at the barracks there.
No, that was the first time I'd been there in years.
Wait a second, man. What do you mean all you see is Hawaii morning, noon, and night?
In my dreams, okay? I had nightmares about it.
All right. But so then you go to Bakersfield.
That's right. You want to ask me again, I'll tell you the same, okay? I like country music, and I very much enjoyed the Buck Owens Crystal Palace, and we had a very good time.
Okay, General, we didn't mean to give you a hard time.
Well, I quit doing it.
Sorry, General. God.
Patsy and I... We look very fondly on those days. You know, did you know that I can Texas two-step?
I did not know that, no.
Don't do that I did not know that like you're going to do a Johnny Carson bit, okay?
I didn't know that, no.
Well, I can't, but I can fake it, you see?
General.
Well, all right, so thank you very much, General. That was fantastic. So that's, we want to get on the phone here, by the way. changing lanes here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. We wanted to get on the phone to Stephen Bozell to talk about the creepy clown epidemic in France. Steve is an aspiring comic. And also Dr. Jim Sandler was going to talk to me about falling down in front of that building.
Oh, my God. Are you sure you want to talk about that?
Big deal. What happened to me, folks, was this. Yesterday, I had to go to work and do a table read for our the animated show that I do. And as I was coming out of this meeting, I had three doors that I could open or possibly opt for. Two of them were locked, though, so I only had one way to get out of the building, and this was a glass door opening out onto a very busy street called Santa Monica Boulevard. I opened this, and maybe this is why a few people go out this door, but the door was about a foot off of, elevated above the sidewalk. So I walk out, and I fall right on my ass, right in front of God and man on Santa Monica Boulevard. Glasses go flying out of my pocket. I banged up my hand. I crunched my shoulder. I got up, and about as humiliated as I could be, and just, you know, walked around the corner to my car. So we thought we'd get on Dr. Jim Sadler to talk just a tad about this, because I think that it's you know, it's interesting. I don't know what we are dealing with here. Are we dealing with Dr. Sadler? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Phil.
And where are you right now?
I'm right now at a confab here at San Diego State, talking about a neurological seminar. But also, Bill Polley is going to be here, and he is a stand-up comic, so I wanted to come out and see him. I'm not a neurologist, but I also understood that it was a comp host breakfast, so I'm taking advantage of that.
But you're not there for the lecture?
I'm here for the lecture, Ms. Gray. Yes, I am. Not really, but we're on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air right now.
All right, well then, yes, I'm here for the...
All right, never mind. Dr. Sadler, you heard the story that I just told of falling down in front of the building.
Right.
So tell me that, I'm not at the age of what I am. I'm not, you know, losing my muscular skills or...
No, not at all. I mean, you often hear about old people falling down.
Yeah, well, Bill, I fell down. I can't get up.
Right. Well, Dickman is referring to the life alert bracelet that the bendy of the elderly wear. You don't find yourself weakening, do you?
Not at all, no. I mean, I go out, I walk, and I run on the beach a few times a week.
All right, so you're a man who's an active man. You exercise. What happened there was that you weren't paying attention, and you were in a, were you in a hurry to get out of the building?
Say that again, doctor.
He said in a hurry.
No, I'll do it. Were you in a hurry to get out of the building?
In a hurry to get out of the building?
No, I was. Yes, I was.
Was it no or is it yes?
He said no, yes.
I said yes, I was.
You said yes, you were. What was it, Terry?
Yes, I was in a hurry. I wanted to get out of the building because I wanted to get home because I was freaking tired because I had to get up early because we had been working late the night before. I just did the gig in Ontario. I had to get up early to drive into Hollywood. I had to go and do this table read. I wanted to get home.
All right, so you were in a hurry. Now, combine the fact that you were in a hurry with the fact that you were going out at an unfamiliar egress, okay? Okay, Phil?
Yes.
All right. So you're in a hurry. It's an unfamiliar egress. And what are you going to get? And you're not really paying that much attention, are you?
Well, I was paying attention to the fact, well, this is a glass door. I wanted to make sure that I could get out because both of the other doors were locked. So I opened the glass door. Yes, I can. And I guess I barreled ahead.
You barreled ahead and you fell down because you said it was almost a foot off of the sidewalk. A lot of these buildings that put in doors, let's say that a lot of these buildings that somehow have had some remodeling done, they don't pay enough attention to things like the elevation of the door, entrance or exit from the sidewalk. Sometimes they don't pay attention to the old electrical outlets. Are they the standard, legally required elevation from the floor, so on and so forth. And you have very dangerous situations. Sometimes, I'm sure we've all been in buildings where they've had a stairway the stairway that don't go nowhere. You know,
Dr. Sadler, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Your grammar is, I understand you're an educated man and you're a doctor, but your grammar's very fractured.
I'm, you know, very relaxed. Early in the morning, which is when you people have me on the air, I'm very relaxed. I'm waiting for Bill Pulley to come out and do his stand-up act, and I'm standing in a buffet line right now, and I'm raising my voice. A lot of people are, hey, how you doing? There's a lot of people looking at me right now like I just came out of a mental institution, and I'm being helped into a car, and there's a person in a white coat giving pill bottles to a relative of mine. See what I'm saying?
No, we don't see what you're saying.
The thumbs up's kind of hard.
You don't see what I'm saying?
I understand that you're standing there talking on a phone, and you're looking kind of weird.
Yes.
Well, it's still, what's that going to do with your grammar?
My grammar is fractured because I'm a guy. You know how Phil was in a hurry to get out of that door? That was me. I was in a hurry to get my degree, get my medical degree, and move on with my life. And so I wanted to do that, and I didn't pay all that much attention on how to talk good or use the good words. So excuse me if I don't talk like I got my nose shoved up the anus of an English professor.
He hung up.
Yeah, he hung up.
Well, you're not going to blame her for that, are you?
Who's her?
I'm on your side on this one, Margaret.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not blaming anybody.
I was simply asking why he,
Get defensive about a guy, man. So the guy don't talk good. What about that?
Well, I understand that would be exactly what you would support.
What?
You heard me, bud. I swear to God.
Sorry.
He's very sensitive about that, you know. But you're right. He doesn't talk. Here's a man with a medical degree, a guy that has a private. He's in private practice. Now he's at some conference or seminar of neurologists. He's actually only there to hear the comic, right?
No, that's what he said. He doesn't know nothing about. No, I'm sorry. He doesn't know anything about neurology. He said he's just there to hear the stand-up comic, get the free Danish.
Yeah, they got a host breakfast. And maybe a host bar, for all I know.
Can you get him back on the phone?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, Dr. Sadler, I know I called you. He hung up on me.
Why?
I called him Mister.
We're going to take a break here, okay?
Wait, hold on. Yeah, Dr. Sadler, it's Bud Dickman, yeah. What? Well, Mr. Henry, well, we're sorry. Well, we didn't know that you'd be all upset because you don't talk good. I mean, hold on. He hung up again.
Oh, would you let me call him back, okay?
All right, here.
Well, you dial the number and I'll talk to him.
All right.
Okay, folks, so we're going to take a break here and...
Here's the phone.
Hold on. Hi, Jim? I mean, I didn't mean to call you. He hung up.
Have some respect, Phil.
We're going to be right back here on the Phil Henry Show just as soon as we get Dr. Sadler back on the phone here. And then we will talk to him and, you know, and it'll be just a marvelous, groovy, wonderful thing. All right, Bloody Creatures, Poster Girl from In This Moment. Crows like diamonds,
small but from a fancy thing. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Ted Bentley has been here for you for many, many years, and Ted Bentley will remain here for you for many, many years. Yes, we're doctors, and yes, we're psychiatrists, but we don't call ourselves doctors and psychiatrists. We are Tad Bentley.
Tad Bentley has been using the method where he doesn't call himself a doctor, just approaches people as if he's a friend. It has worked in over 61% of all cases. What do we mean by worked? We got the business, the checks cashed, we're rich. Tad Bentley is here for you.
All I'm trying to do is get myself a bite to eat, the rest of Bill Pulley.
I understand. We're back here on a Phil Henry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler, so as I came out of that building yesterday, and as I stumbled and fell out there on the sidewalk, and I banged up my finger and I banged up my shoulder, but there's nothing more seriously wrong with me other than the fact that I was in a hurry and I wasn't paying attention to an exit that I hadn't used before.
That's exactly right, Phil. And I used to use a metaphor, and perhaps I shouldn't use it. It seemed to help people.
Well, go ahead, doctor.
No, it's something that would be particularly offensive to women.
Offensive? Are you're talking about something you talk to your patients about?
It's a metaphor for going out the wrong exit. Okay?
And, yeah?
Well, Miss Gray, don't you...
I'm talking to the doctor.
In other words, I used a metaphor. It's a sexual metaphor for what happens when you go out the wrong exit or you go into what's an... You see what I'm saying?
I don't understand.
Margaret, just take it from us, okay?
Yeah, Miss Gray, talking about anal.
You filthy-minded...
Hey! What? Didn't we tell you?
You told me. I didn't want to hear it from him.
Well, why don't you listen to people?
Bud, one more word out of you, you die. You die today. It'll be quick. You'll be cremated. Your people won't be informed for weeks.
All right. Well, that, enough of that stuff, okay?
But anyway, the point that I'm making is, yes, I would use that, I would say, to my patients, when you are in a hurry and you are using a door that you've never used before, well, what happens to you when you try to...
I understand. Thank you.
All right, so...
But what does happen to the man? I mean,
yeah, you're not going to fall down and break your arm or anything. The worst thing going to happen to you is you get some chafing. And
will you shut your mouth?
That does it.
Hey, wait! Ow!
Hold on for a minute.
What's going on there?
Hold on for a minute.
Hey. Ow! Ow!
I didn't even touch you.
I swear to God, I'm going to kill somebody. Dr. Sadler, sir, are you there? Dr. Sadler, you there?
Yeah, shit.
All right, so thank you very much for joining us. We'll let you go, okay?
I'm lining up to get the crew. Yeah, you know what's interesting, Phil? I think your listeners will find this interesting. It said host breakfast, okay? It said it on the sign, because I heard about it yesterday, and Darren McGiffey, who's a doctor in the medical group that we have an office in, he says, are you going over to the breakfast? I said, where? He says, they're having the... A bunch of these brain surgeons. I said, you're making a joke. He said, no, these are actual brain surgeons, and they're having a host breakfast, and this guy, Bill Pauly, is a stand-up comic. Now, Bill Pauly's not a stand-up comic. He's a research scientist. But he's so funny, and he's unintentionally funny, that everybody just assumes, let's go see this comic.
He's a doctor.
Oh, he's a researcher. And he's done remarkable work with stem cells. He's also done remarkable work working with paralysis victims. However... He's such a stumble bum up there, and his lectures are so rotten, they're funny. So that's why we say, are you going to go see the stand-up comic?
Can you imagine a guy so bad that they don't think of you as a doctor, they think of you as a comedian?
What?
You heard what I said, okay? So anyway, I come out here, he says, you and I said, it's a host breakfast. He says, yes. I said, because if I swear to God, Darren, if it isn't, I'm gonna be coming after you. He says it is. So I come out here. Sure enough, yes, it is a host breakfast. I get here. Guess what they got? They got one lousy little. There's a scoop here of what may be scrambled eggs, like four or five potatoes, one half of a bitten into Danish. What a bunch of pigs! Shit. And so I just asked the girl, "Are you gonna restock?" She said, "Yeah," but I've been standing here now for 10 minutes waiting for them to come. Here she comes now. What's that, honey? Huh? Watermelon. Watermelon? Are you ready for that? I want eggs. You bring me watermelon. What's that? It's cut-up fruit?
Cut-up fruit, yeah.
Are you ready for that, Phil?
Good luck, Doc.
Well, now, come on, Phil, you know.
What's wrong?
I don't care about whether that guy's having breakfast or not. Oh, my God.
Well, that deep said would be.
What?
Deep that.
Deck, but, you know, what did he say?
He said he would be.
He said he would be what?
At a breakfast.
Hey, can I tell you something right now? The word is breakfast, not breakfast.
Sorry.
No, but he said he's going to be at a breakfast.
I know he said he was going to be at a breakfast. He didn't say to me or anybody else that he'd be standing around there with, you know, thumbing it while the rest of the world is waiting for this cat to get his freaking act together, man. That's all I'm trying to say. All right, Phil Henry Show here, and we've been very, very grateful to have you along the way with us. We're going to see you guys on Monday. Don't forget tomorrow, our BSP only show. BSP only show tomorrow on our website. Part 5, I think, of the autobiography of Phil Henry. We'll have it for you, okay? Get a backstage pass to the Phil Henry Show website for only $9.99 a month. The hours of audio that you get, unprecedented in the history of the world. Over 15,000 hours of the greatest radio show the world has ever seen. And the way things are going right now, man, it being the greatest radio show that the world has ever seen, it will remain that way because radio, there ain't nobody in it anymore, man. Radio's over.
Yeah, that's it. Radio's over.
Our show's over.
Well, our show is over. Phil Hendry Show. See you guys on Monday. Best of luck to my old boot pals who are having the 32nd annual old boot in Las Vegas this weekend. And
we love you.
Insatiates never even bother.